We now begin the 10th and final chapter of Maseches Bava Basra. This chapter, known as Get Pashut, discusses the halachas of the creation and technicalities around contracts, halachic contracts, typically referred to as shtaros. A shtar is like a document, like a legal document, and also can be referred to as a get. Although when you think of get, you probably think of a divorce document. The truth is that a get can be referring to any kind of legal document, and that's what our first Mishnah will use the term get to refer to. Now, just a few moments of introduction to contracts under Jewish law. First of all, contracts, shtaros, come in two varieties, which are really quite different. Some function as what's a shtar kinyan, and some function as what's called a shtar raya. We discuss this at length in Gittin and again in Kedushin. A shtar kinyan is a document which in of itself effects the transaction, as opposed to a shtar raya, which is just a document which memorializes the transaction which occurred, so that later on we'll know what happened and how to enforce whatever obligations were undertaken. So that would mean a shtar kinyan, there are three basic varieties. It's the divorce document, the get, also a document used for kedushin, and also for transferring like a deed for real estate. So in those contracts, it's the document itself being that effects the transaction. So most familiar to us is the get for divorce, the get shechrur, so excuse me, the get of severance of a marriage, get krisus. So how that works, of course, is that when a man wants to divorce his wife, he gives her the get, and her receiving of the get itself is what makes her divorced. Yes, the get says she's, you know, no longer his wife and free to go, but the point is what effects that her no longer being married to him is receiving the piece of paper, okay? Similarly, a person could marry a woman not just with kesef and bia, like giving a ring or something, a value to effect the kedushin. He could actually give her a piece of paper that says, by accepting this piece of paper, you are mekudeshes, you're married to me. And her accepting the piece of paper now affects the marriage. And finally, you can have a transfer, like we discussed in the previous program about transferring, say, land. So the deed, you could say, this, I'm writing the document, you know, this, my field now belongs to you. When you receive that document, that in and of itself would transfer ownership, just as it would if you would give me money or you do some kind of, you know, chazakas and proprietary act on the field. So let's call the shtar kinyan. Then you have a shtar raya. A shtar raya is that the legal event, the transaction has occurred independent of the documentation, but the documentation memorializes what happened so we can enforce later on. In other words, you want to borrow $100 from me, so I give you $100 in front of two witnesses, now you owe me $100 in return, period. I don't have to draft a contract if I don't want to. Same goes for selling my car. I can sell you my car. We do the formal kinyanum technicalities. The car becomes yours and no contract required. But if I want to collect on my loan, I might want to have a contract drafted to memorialize, to record the details of the loan, when it happened, and the terms of repayment and so on. And that way I could enforce it in a bezdin. So that's called a shtar raya document that's for later evidencing what happened. Of course, every shtar kinyan also, in retrospect, becomes a shtar raya, meaning once a woman receives her get, now she can prove she's divorced by presenting her get to the bezdin, and same goes if you're talking about a deed to a property and the like. Okay, now, all contracts to be effective require edus. Edus means two witnesses, legal witnesses. Now, normally, the halacha is that for something to be edus, testimony, it needs to be done, delivered orally, meaning it has to be spoken out, because the pasuk says, al pi shnaim edim, through the mouths, if you will, of the two witnesses. So you need to have actual talking going on. But an exception to that rule, and according to most Rishonim, an exception on a Doraisa level, is a contract which has two signatures of two witnesses that will be binding as edus, as if it were testimony, although it's written down. Meaning, although normally they can't deliver a written testimony, that would be binding. Here, in terms of signing on a contract, it is indeed binding. If you'll call back to Maseches Gittin, there was a big discussion. What empowers? There, you need edus for sure for giving over the get, no doubt about it. But there was a involve discussion if it's Ede Mesira or if it's Ede Chasima, if it's witnessing the handing of the contract over or witnesses on the contract, which are the essential empowering witnesses. But that's beyond the topic of what we have today. Now, I mean, in our discussion this moment here, I don't want to discuss that right now. Now, the contract itself can be written in any language that you want, typically be written either in the language of the mischayev, the person who's undertaking the obligation. So, you know, the woman who's getting married, it would be in her language, or the man who's taking the loan, it would be done in his language, etc. But it could be done in the language of the edim, so meaning that neither lender nor borrower speak Chinese, but the two witnesses do speak Chinese, so the contract could be written in Chinese and they could sign that. That's also totally fine. There are a variety of other halachas that pertain to how to properly draft a contract. Mainly will be discussed in the Mishnayos in front of us here. The basic point, this is the essential point, is that the rabbis, when they made decrees, they were intending to make a standardized way of contracts to work. This would certainly prevent or limit the possibility of fraud, counterfeiting, and the like. At all events, one must conform to the conventions the rabbis set out regarding the creation of contracts. And if one fails to do so, the contract simply isn't binding. It's not valid. So that's very important. Okay? The last point is that when one actually enters into a loan agreement, so that's a halva'a, a loan, so the lender can do the loan in one of two ways. He can be a milva al peh or a milva bishtar. He could just do an orally binding loan, meaning it says, I'm lending you here $100. There are two witnesses. You agree you're going to pay me back in 100 days, and that's that. Or I could say, listen, we're running a contract down, which I will then, you'll essentially commit that you're paying me back. And the witness is signing up, and I'll keep the contract. Again, it's a shtar raya to prove that you owe me the money. There's obviously an obvious advantage to having a written contract as opposed to a verbal agreement, a al peh. And that is that if I need to enforce the loan, so first of all, finding the witnesses could be difficult. Maybe they're going to be dead or something. Whereas, of course, if I have a contract, it will persist regardless of what happens to the witnesses. But there are two other important halachic differences besides that. The first is that the way it works is the lender, the malve, would keep the shtar, the promissory note, to be able to collect from the borrower. Now, the basic assumption is so long as he has that note in his hand, we assume it has not been repaid. The loan hasn't been repaid. So if he goes to Bezdin and he says, you know, Reuven says Shimon owes him money, and Reuven has the IOU in his hand, the shtar, so then even if Shimon says, I paid you back, we don't believe him. In contrast, if it's just a milva peh, if it's a verbal agreement with no contract, so then even if we have witnesses that confirm that Shimon borrowed the money, if Shimon claims he repaid it, Reuven can't collect a second time. Therefore, the contract is something very important. The second big difference that if you're a milva bishtar, what happens is that, as you said many other times, when a person borrows money with a contract, real assets, like his property, all become automatically leaned, like encumbered by this loan, so which means that if the borrower can no longer pay in the future when the loan is due, then the lender can essentially confiscate the borrower's property, and if the borrower sold the property in the interim, the lender can go to the new purchaser and say, listen, that I have a lien on that property, and it's mine, and I'm repossessing it. So that's only true if there's a contract, because then at least the purchaser of the property, you know, could have a chance of understanding that it's encumbered and not, you know, be careful. Whereas if it's just an oral agreement to repay with no contract, so then how could he ever know? And therefore, there's no encumbrance on the property that he buys. So those are two big differences of milva bishtar. Now, our Mishnah Aleph here, I want to talk about two kinds of contracts. This is two kinds, not functionally, but just structurally, two physical kinds of contracts. One called a get pashut, the regular contract, the kind of contract you and I know and love. And then there's also the get mukushar, the tied contract. This is very peculiar. It has no application anymore. And even in the time of the Rishonim, they didn't use it. But in the time of the Mishnah, the rabbis wanted to set up a situation where you'd have a contract which is difficult and time-consuming to draft. Why would they want that? Because specifically in the case of Kohanim, if a Kohen is to divorce his wife, so then he is in a bad predicament if he wants to take her back in. It wouldn't be uncommon, even nowadays it's not so uncommon that a person divorces his wife and then later on they get remarried, but a Kohen may not marry a divorcee, even if she's divorced from him. So once a Kohen divorces his wife with a get, that is now final. He can't take her back. So since Chazal thought that the Kohanim were quite impetuous, and they wanted to sort of slow down the process of divorcing, so that the Kohen could sort of, think things over and change his mind, and then therefore Chazal could sort of salvage that family. So they made this thing called the Get Mekushar, literally the tied get, which is time-consuming to draft, used for Kohanim specifically to divorce their wives, and that way, the process will take longer, and you'll need to have three witnesses for it and that kind of thing. So while it's dragging out to put together, the hope was that the Kohen would rethink things and actually decide not to divorce his wife after all. Since the rabbis authorized the Get Mekushar for the divorce of Kohanim to their wives, they basically said, okay, that's sort of a legal structure for a contract in any use, the Get Mekushar. And again, it stopped being used a long time ago, so there's no halakhic application whatsoever to this Mishnah in truth, basically, the Get Mekushar part of it for sure. But in any case, in the time the Mishnah was relevant. So therefore, the Mishnah is going to just sort of highlight the differences between the Get Pashut, the regular contract, and the Get Mekushar. So now, how did this Get Mekushar look? Basically, it's like they would write a line of text on a piece of paper, then they would fold it over, and then the witness would sign on the back of that line, ultimately, when the contract was done. Then they would write another line of text and again fold the paper over. So even a third time, you have a minimum of three folds. Ultimately, you have a minimum of three signatures on the back of the paper behind the text. And this kind of looks like a fan by the end of it, okay? I'll try to take a picture, depending on how you're listening to this recording and where you're finding it. I'll try to provide a picture so you can see it's worth, if you see it in 1 second, you'll understand what's going on. The words I know I described are hard to imagine what we're talking about. So, in any case, says the Mishnah inside. Get Pashut, a regular standard contract, Edav Metocho, the witnesses sign within it, meaning on the front cover, like on the contract, at the bottom of the contract, at the bottom of the text on that side of the page. Umukushar, but when it comes to a tied get, the Mukushar, Edav Me'achorav, the witnesses sign on the other side, meaning on the folds where there's text, on the behind the text they sign, on that other side of the page, on the back side of the piece of paper, so to speak. Pashut, if you have a regular contract, Shekasfo Edav Me'achorav, and the witnesses signed on the back, or Mukushar, you have a regular, the tied get, Shekasu Edav Metocho, and the witnesses sign in the normal way, meaning at the bottom of that page, on the front of the piece of paper. Shneam Psulin. Both those contracts are totally invalid. Again, they're invalid because they didn't conform to the dictates of the Chazal, how to do contracts. Rabbi Chinna ben Gamliel Omer, Mukushar Shekasu Edav Metocho Kasher. Rabbi Chinna ben Gamliel says no. He says, if it's a mukushar, the taget, and they're signed the front, it could be kosher. It's kosher anyways. Why? Because they could make it into a pashut, meaning they have to just undo the sewing that tied it down and like flatten out the piece of paper. Now you've got a piece of paper with a contract written on the front page, as any contract is, and then the bottom of signatures, as any contract is. So what's the problem? But the Tanakhama doesn't agree with that, because again, you didn't do it as according to how it was meant to be. And the outset. Okay, now, a new point-ish here. It sounds like it's a continuation, but it isn't a continuation. There's an opinion regarding what happens if a person requests that his sofer create him a get, a contract, and the contract he specifies. The person who commissions the contract to written specifies it should be written, let's say, as a mekushar. And then they say the sofer does it as a pashut, or vice versa. So the Tanakhama, who isn't spoken here, but that opinion is... then it's not valid, because obviously the person making the request to commission the contract to be drafted was very particular. That's why he requested this request. And therefore, if the sofer violates the request, the contract is invalid. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Hakol Kamina Gamadina, he says, well, it depends. He says, if you are talking about a locale where people equally use the get pashut and get mukushar, so then if the person requesting the get, requested one or the other, so at least according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he wasn't really particular. He was going with whatever's normal, and he wasn't actually that makpid. So it shouldn't be pasul. Tanakhama holds it is pasul. The halacha, I guess, like Tanakhama, but really there's no application bisman hazeh, not in the Shulchan Aruch and the like, regarding a get mekushar.